Okay, I think we'll make a start. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Party too hard. Thank you so much for coming in this morning for the session. My name is Matt McSpirit, and I'm one of our technical product marketers in the Windows Server and System Center group, or what is now known as Cloud Plus Enterprise. And in this session, I really want to take you through some of the core solutions that you can use, some free, some paid for, to migrate from VMware to Microsoft. From specifically vSphere over to either Hyper-V or Microsoft Azure. So there's a range of solutions both from Microsoft and our partners. So by the end of this session, you should have a good list of the different options and compare and contrast some of their features. So the three key things that I want to cover. Migrate to Hyper-V. So some of the tools, some of the functionality that we provide in Microsoft for you to migrate workloads. Number two, moving to Azure, on-premises into Microsoft Azure, or from other clouds into Microsoft Azure as well. And then finally, we'll wrap up with some partner solutions. And I've got a number of demos as well, some live, some captured, so we can go through and show you what some of these solutions actually look like as well. So when we think about migrating to Hyper-V, are people migrating? Are people adopting Hyper-V in the industry? And the answer is absolutely yes. More and more organizations are adopting Hyper-V at an incredibly fast rate. Hyper-V is the fastest growing virtualization hypervisor and is delivering all of the key capabilities that organizations are looking for running their virtual workloads. So you'll see the growth since 2008 time when Hyper-V was just first released as part of Windows Server 2008. And the growth has been pretty substantial, accelerating when we got to Windows Server 2012 with new capabilities, new features, really matching vSphere on a scale, on a performance, on a features perspective. Now, there's always going to be features in a vSphere platform that isn't in Hyper-V, and there's going to be features now that are in Hyper-V that aren't in vSphere. But the key thing is when you're weighing up which virtualization platform you want to go with going forward, focus on your enterprise, your environment, and I think you'll find in many cases Hyper-V delivers all of the key capabilities. And you see the investments we're continuing to make in Hyper-V. We're not slowing down. An area like live migration. Think about how long VMware has had vMotion. Years and years and years. Hyper-V introduced it in Windows Server 2008 R2 and improved it in 2012 and improved it again in 2012 R2 with support for things like live migration with compression and live migration with RDMA connectivity. VMware support neither of those things. So even though, yes, you can live migrate with VMware, with Hyper-V, we're taking things even further. And that's just one example. So Hyper-V's growth is growing. We're seeing people switch. We've got some big switchers now, people who have switched a number of workloads from VMware over to Hyper-V. But it's not just based on market share. It's also recognition. So Gartner in the Magic Quadrant have recognized Microsoft as a leader, along with VMware, in that category for virtualization for the last 4 years. And Microsoft is actually the only vendor that is a leader in the Magic Quadrant for virtualization, IaaS with Microsoft Azure, platform as a service, and storage, public cloud storage. So we're really delivering enterprise capabilities across all of those different areas. So whether you're looking to stay completely on-premises, Hyper-V's got you covered. If you're looking to embrace hybrid, Azure plus Hyper-V on-premises has got you covered as well. So there's a real good story there around how strong Microsoft is in this space. And when we think about workloads, big SQL servers, big SharePoint, big Exchange, proven scaled performance on the hypervisor platform with Hyper-V, but more recently than that, an SAP world record running on Hyper-V and full support for Oracle on Hyper-V and in Microsoft Azure as well. So when you think about workloads, which is ultimately what you will be migrating if you choose to migrate, you've got to know that it's going to run well when it gets to Hyper-V. And our performance testing has proven that, not only from a Microsoft perspective, but for non-Microsoft workloads as well. And very shortly, we'll be releasing some of the performance metrics for virtualizing Linux on Hyper-V as well. So you'll see some good performance numbers there. So when we think about some of the tools that we can use, It used to be, a couple of years ago, that the only tool that Microsoft provided to migrate from VMware to Hyper-V was built into System Center. It was System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and it had a V2V and a P2V capability built in. The only problem with that was customers had to buy System Center to get the functionality to migrate. And if you just wanted to kick the tires and test and understand Hyper-V with your VMware workloads, you had to install full System Center to do it. So a couple of years ago, we released the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. And this gave you a free standalone tool to do migrations from VMware to Hyper-V. We released version 1, followed it up with version 2 with new features and some additional support for new operating systems like Linux and also newer versions of vSphere and Hyper-V. And then we've just followed it up this month in October with MVMC 3. It's free, free to download. It's very small. It's a very small package to download. But what does it give me? Well, it gives me virtual to virtual conversion. But now in version 3, it also converts physical to virtual. There was a period of time just recently where System Center, Virtual Machine Manager 2012 R2, removed the P2V functionality. But Microsoft didn't provide an alternative solution for customers wanting to do P2V. This is that alternative solution. So it does V2V and P2V. Okay? And we'll see both of those as we go through the demo. So the key things, just at a high level benefit, incredibly easy to deploy. Simple, easy to use, UI driven, but there is a native support for PowerShell. Previous releases, MVMC 1, didn't have any PowerShell support built in. So scripting and automating was more difficult. MVMC 2 and MVMC 3 now have PowerShell support natively. So you can automate the process. And we'll look at how important that is a bit later on. As I said, fully supported, easy to download, easy to use, and it supports the latest stuff. It supports the latest Hyper-V hosts, the latest vSphere hosts, the latest guests, both Windows Server and Windows Client, along with a number of Linux distributions as well. And we'll look at some of that later. So, when we think about what I can choose, I'm going to first focus on physical conversion, just so you know it's there and it's in the product. When it comes to physical conversion, we support, as a physical OS, Windows Server 2008 R2, 2012 and R2, Windows Vista, if you want, and Windows 7 or Windows 8. You can convert laptops, servers, desktops, whatever it may be, using MVMC. To Hyper-V, 2008 R2, SP1, 2012, or 2012 R2. Now, what's important to remember if you are converting physical to virtual is the tool, as it stands today, will only convert to a VHD. Those of you who know about Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 will know that Hyper-V supports VHD and VHDX. This P2V tool just does VHD. When we look at V2V later, that does VHDX as well. So you're okay then. So that's at a high level. When we think about what happens in the process of a P2V with this tool, you've got your Hyper-V host, you've installed MVMC. Now in my example, MVMC is installed on the Hyper-V host, but if you wanted to install it on a different machine, that's fine. It doesn't have to be on the Hyper-V host. So we need a couple of places to store the information. So we declare a VM location where the VM will run once it's finished converting, and a scratch space that the tool will use to handle the migration and the conversion. So we'll connect to the source, we'll install a small agent, scan the system, and then we'll choose which volumes we want to copy or migrate in this case. Configure any VM settings, choose the Hyper-V host we'd like to migrate to, and then we'll do a VSS snapshot. So this is an online migration. The physical host is online. Notice as well, the physical machine is just Windows. P2V in this tool is only Windows-based. It can't do Linux. V2V does Windows and Linux, just so you know. So once the data has been copied across, we'll convert it, we'll fix up the virtual disk, we'll attach it, and then we'll create your VM. It's that straightforward. It's incredibly easy. But you say, why are you, this is about VMware migration this session. Why are you telling me this? Well, just because it says physical to virtual conversion doesn't mean you can't use it against a VMware VM. Okay, I can still convert a VM with the physical to virtual wizard. If you think about a P to V, you're not converting the actual hardware. You're just taking a snap of the operating system and bringing it into a virtual environment. So I can still use this particular tool for virtual conversions as well. Okay? But I'll talk on some of the other features later on. So let me quickly jump in to show you just how easy it is in my environment. Let me go to my screen here. I'll come back to that one shortly. So here we are in my demo lab, and I'm going to bring up my MVMC. And you'll see MVMC, two choices right at the start. Do I want to convert a VM? Do I want to convert a physical machine? In this case, I'm just going to run through the physical machine conversion really quickly. I'll go next. I'll choose a physical machine for conversion. In this case, it's just a standalone workgroup server, and I've got the appropriate credentials. I'll go next. Now, I've already run this once to speed things up, but if I click Scan System, this is that point in the previous slide where MVMC is going to send out a little agent, collect the information about that server, and then bring it back to this UI. So you can see the disks I've got, the network adapters, how many processors, which operating system, all in this box here. I'll go next, and I'll choose which volumes I would like to migrate. The C drive is grayed out. I can't change that. I think if you didn't migrate the C drive, it probably wouldn't be a great conversion experience. But the E and the F, they're optional in this case. But I'll leave those in. I'll go next. Now I create the settings for the VM that I'm going to create. So in this case, I've just called it P2V VM, four processors, four virtual processors, and in this case, half a gig of RAM. So in this wizard, MVMC is not looking at the physical server and automatically populating this information. It leaves it blank. It's for you to enter that. So that's something to bear in mind. I'll go next. I'll choose my host that I'm going to migrate to. I'll go next. And I'll choose a location where the virtual disks, the VHD files, will finally live. Okay, so this is where they will be stored once the process is complete and the VM is running. This might be your SAN. It might be, in this case, it's an SMB share. This is where I'm placing them for when they're going to be running. We'll go next. And this workspace option, this is the scratch space, the area where we're going to need a temporary area of space to handle a conversion. And you'll say, well, how big does this need to be? It just depends on the machine you're converting. If you're converting a physical server with a 500 gig hard drive, you're going to need at least 500 gig of space to handle a conversion, okay? And so on. So you go back to my workspace. I'll click next. I'll choose my network connectivity for the virtual machine. I'll just choose, in this case, Corp and Corp for both. Next, I've got my summary, and then I would kick it off. And that's going to go ahead and start the process. Now, the obvious question is, how long is that going to take? And the answer is, it just depends. It just depends on how long, how big the virtual machine, how big the physical server is that you're converting, your network transmission speed between physical server and your converter, the power of your converter machine, that's going to have an impact. So all of those factors are going to be something to take into account. But I hope what you took away from that simple demo is it's really easy. MVMC is easy to use. However, if I had 500 physical servers to convert, that's going to take me a long time. Next. I need to think about automation. And that's where PowerShell can be very helpful. So that's a little bit about physical conversion. And the only reason I include this is because people often ask, when I've talked about V2V, do you have a solution for P2V? You've just seen it. So when we think about virtual machine conversion, what's supported? What are our supported hosts and source machines? On the VMware side, vSphere Hypervisor, ESX, ESXi, 4.1, 5.1, 5.5. You'll say, okay, I'm running version 5. Does that work? Yes, version 5 will work. It's just not one of the ones we list for support, but it will work. What about vCenter? vCenter 4.1, 5.1, 5.5. So, in my environment, I've literally just got a single ESXi host that I'm using for conversion. In larger environments, more likely you'll be using vCenter. So I would point my MVMC at vCenter, and it would bring me a list of all of the VMs that that vCenter is currently managing, and I would choose which one I want to convert. So on the Hyper-V side, 2008 R2 SP1, 2012 R2. Notice here the difference with the virtual hard disks. MVMC gives me the option, if I'm converting to a 2012 or R2 host, to use the VHDX file format. If you're not familiar with the VHDX file format, it gives us a couple of benefits over VHD. It's better optimization and alignment, specifically on advanced format drives, like 4K sector disks. It's better against corruption, against power failures. But the biggest one is capacity. A VHD, maximum size, 2 terabytes. VHDX, maximum size, 64 terabytes. So a big capacity improvement there with VHDX. There's no real reason going forward to use VHD unless you want to move the disk to Azure or if you want to move it back to a previous version of Hyper-V. But my recommendation would be VHDX if you can. So Hyper-V is one target. You'll see there's a big gap here at the top, and that's because the other target for VM conversion is Azure. We didn't have that option in P2V. P2V just goes from physical to Hyper-V. V2V, VMware to Hyper-V or Azure. And I'll explain a bit about the process shortly, but again, that's VHD only. The wizard will automatically choose that for you. You can't change it. It's automatically performed. So, what can I convert from a V2V perspective? Well, on the VMware side, from a hardware version perspective, versions 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10, which gives pretty good coverage for the most part. On the actual OS, you'll see there's a number of different options there, from Windows Server 2008 through R2, through 2012 R2, a number of clients, and a number of Linux distributions as well. So again, good coverage. Would other Linux distributions work? I imagine so, but they've not been tested. And if they're not one of the supported ones on Hyper-V, of which all of this list are supported, then your mileage may vary on those particular distributions. Key things here, there's a couple of little numbers at the end here. Number 2, at the end of each, where you see a number 2 at the end of each OS, that means you can't move that version to Azure. We don't support Windows clients in Azure. So you're not going to be able to convert, if you wanted to, Windows Vista Enterprise and then push it to Azure. That's not a supported scenario. However, if you wanted to move, for instance, Windows Server 2008 to Azure, you could do it, but it would have to be the 64-bit version because Azure also does not support 32-bit guests. The tool helps you control all of this anyway, but it's just something to be aware of. And with regards to Linux, there's extra steps as part of the conversion that you need to perform, and it's all documented in the MVMC documentation. Now, in terms of virtual disks, you may think, well, for me, whenever I have VMware virtual machines, I just use a VMDK, and pretty much the default settings, it's either thin provisioned, thick provisioned, eager zeroed. They're my options that I generally use. But what a lot of people don't realize is there are additional ways to create VMware virtual disks in the vSphere environment. But MVMC supports the vast majority. Most of you will just be like my environment. Default VMDKs, default configuration, you'll be fine. But just something to be aware of, there are other disk types that vSphere has that MVMC will support. Now, when you think about some of the other requirements, obviously you're going to need the appropriate permissions. You need to be able to access the vSphere environment. You need credentials there for both vCenter and host. You're going to need an environment in the Hyper-V infrastructure where you can store stuff. So in this case, you need a write access to a UNC path on the Hyper-V host where those virtual disks will be placed. It doesn't mean you have to be using SMB-based storage for this. It just means that you need a path to store the VMs temporarily. The Hyper-V host obviously will need enough capacity for the hard disks. That goes without saying. But what not a lot of people realize is just how much space you do need. If you have a VMware virtual machine that's, let's say, 50 gigabytes in size, and you start the conversion, MVMC is going to need 100 gigabytes at least for the conversion. Reason being, we grab the VMware virtual disk and bring it to our scratch space. We have it there, we check it, we validate it, we start the conversion, and we build the VHD or VHDX side by side. So you've got a 50 gig VMDK and a 50 gig VHDX side by side. Total space, just over 100 gigabytes in this case. So you need double the space of what your VMware virtual machine would be initially. So just something to bear in mind if you've got very large virtual machines. Now, when it comes to actual conversion, MVMC will primarily do it online, so your VMware VM should be in a running state. Okay, so it should be online on the primary source vSphere environment. It recommends to disable firewall. That's not applicable for everybody, so it may be that you just open the certain ports that are in the documentation, but in my environment, I've simplified that. You need to ensure that VMware tools are installed. You think, okay, why would I need that? MVMC utilizes and removes VMware tools as part of the process, but it uses also the VMware tools initially to communicate and to better convert that virtual workload. If you've not got VMware tools installed, which I imagine most of you would in a production vSphere environment because performance is better with them installed, then I don't believe that MVMC would be able to convert that. It needs the VMware tools installed and running. It doesn't necessarily have to be the latest VMware tools, it just needs them. We need to be able to move, I think you can actually migrate work group machines, but in this case it does say should be domain joined. In this case, in my P2V, it was actually just a work group machine, so as long as you've got the credentials and the information to access, then you should be fine. And then some more, obviously, credentials as well that you need for the overall conversion. But then for Linux guests, again, we want VMware tools installed. We need SSH to remove the VMware tools. You say, why do you need to remove the VMware tools? Well, think about it. When that VM gets over to Hyper-V, we don't really need VMware drivers and optimizations because the Hyper-V equivalents will be already installed. So we remove those and clean those up. So it saves you that kind of effort after the fact. So we will actually remove those, even for Linux, as long as you've got the relevant credentials and relevant access. So it's something to bear in mind. I know not everybody enables SSH support, so it's something to consider. And so that final option that we discussed earlier, so that was Hyper-V migration. What about to Azure? The only real prerequisites for this are you need a certificate, and if anybody has used Azure for any of the IaaS environments or hybrid or networking or site recovery, you'll know that there's a process involved around certificates and also getting your storage account ID. And I'll show you a demo shortly about what this looks like, but essentially you just need the certificate, your subscription ID, the thumbprint of the certificate, and that's it. You need a storage account in Azure. But one thing that to bear in mind with this process and with MVMC, MVMC will convert the virtual machine over to Hyper-V first, or to a location first, and then uploads the VHD into Azure as part of the wizard. So what you end up with in Azure, in your storage account, is just the virtual hard disk. MVMC does not go and create the VM in Azure. Not quite sure why, but that last part of the process, that's something that you would do either manually or script, or with PowerShell. So just to reiterate, we convert the virtual machine, we grab that virtual hard disk, the VHD, we upload it automatically to the storage account, and that's where it finishes. So you would then go in manually, create VM in Azure, attach virtual disk, start VM, and then you're away. So that's just one way. I will talk about another way to migrate to Azure shortly, which I think is stronger, but just so you're aware, that's how the process works in MVMC. So yes, you need the storage account. You need, if you're running MVMC on an older version of Windows Server, so not 2012 or R2, then you may have to install an updated PowerShell runtime for that. But the documentation does take you through all of that. So what happens with the process of MVMC for converting a VMware VM? Well, we need the VMware environment, obviously, and we need some VMs. We've got our same Hyper-V host in this case with MVMC installed, and we have those same locations we talked about before. So the scratch space and also the final location for the VM. We've also got Azure in play here as well. So firstly, and you'll see this in a demo shortly, we'll connect to your vCenter or ESXi, and we'll select the guest. This is important. Notice I say guest and not guests, single. It's one VM at a time with the UI, which is quite manual, but I'll show you how you can scale out and automate a little bit later. So you would, at this stage, find your ESXi or your vCenter. It would give you a list of your VMs. You'll choose one and go next. We'll checkpoint the VM. Now, checkpoint, snapshot. We'll snapshot the VM using VMware's own snapshot technology. We'll just tell vCenter or tell ESXi, take a snapshot. Because at this point in time, that VM is working perfectly. It's fine. We'll snapshot, so you've got a point in time that you can always go back to. So we'll snapshot that VM. It's got the VMware tools installed. It's nice and fresh. It's there. We will then work with the continually running state. We'll start to copy across. We'll uninstall the VMware tools. We'll kick off the copy over to the scratch space, and then we will validate once that's completed. Once validated, we'll attach that virtual disk to a Hyper-V VM, and then we'll start it up. Or, so that was 5A, or we'll upload it to Azure, whichever one you chose as part of the wizard. But as I said, it's just a copy to blob storage, nothing more at this stage. So let's take a quick look at that in action. Let's go back to my environment. So in this case, I'm on my virtual machine conversion. Rather than physical, I'm going to choose VM. I'm going to go next. And I'm going to choose to migrate to Hyper-V, firstly. I'll show you the migration to Azure in a minute. So migrate to Hyper-V. We'll go next. I'll choose my host. In this case, it's the same one. And I'll go next. And I'll choose the path where the VMs will finally be stored. In this case, it's just a UNC path that I have permissions for. And now I have the choice of what I want to happen to the virtual hard disk. So I've got the choice of using fixed or dynamic. And I can choose VHD or VHDX. In this case, I'm going to choose dynamic and VHDX. I'll go next. And the source machine. Now I've just used the IP address of my ESXi host directly. But this could be my vCenter address, could be an IP address, could be a name, whatever it may be. If I come out of there and show you my vSphere environment, you'll see I've got a number of VMs up there on this particular host, 1.11, and I'm running 10 VMs on there for the purpose of the demo. So let me go back. I'll go next, and it would go away and it would scan. I've already done this in advance, hence why it was a little bit quicker, but this may take a minute or two in your environment, depending on how many VMs you have. And you'll see here, I'm just going to select number 3 in this case and click next. So I can't multi-select. I can just do one at a time. And I'll talk more about that a bit later on. Now, this is important. I need to choose what I want to happen at the end of the process. So you'll see, we're going to remove VMware tools as part of the wizard. That's in the text at the top. We're going to connect to the VM, remove the VMware tools. We need to be in part of the admin group, and we need remote access through WMI. But what are we going to do with the VM once it's finished? Because we don't destroy the original. It doesn't get destroyed. So that means if I do want to, after the process is finished, bring up my vSphere VM again, I can do that. That's not a problem. But you wouldn't want the Hyper-V version and the VMware version running simultaneously because they're identical. They're going to have the same settings. Active Directory will have a conflict, or at least from a network IP address perspective. So we want to ensure that we choose the source virtual machine state to be different, to be different from that of the final state of the destination virtual machine. So in this case, final state of the VMware virtual machine, off. final state of the Hyper-V virtual machine on. You'd want to have those different, or both off, which would be fine. We'll go next. This is the area of disk space where the conversion will take place. So it needs enough free space for the VMDK and the VHDX. So double the space, remember. And we'll go next. In summary, it's going to check everything can proceed. And hopefully it can. He says. And from there, once that completes, it's just a case of going finish and the migration will start. Now again, the question is, how long will this take? What's the downtime? And it just depends. If you've got a virtual machine with a terabyte hard drive, that's going to take quite a long time. Because remember, we have the VM online, we snapshot, we remove the VMware tools, and then we power down the VM and start the conversion. So the downtime for that VM from the shutdown moment, you will not have that VM running again until the conversion is completed, which could be minutes, it could be hours. It just depends on the size of the VM, the MVMC host, and how quickly it can process the data, and the network speed to copy the file. So they're all key considerations. So that's finished now, so we can just kick that off, and off we go. And hopefully that will continue to convert, he says. So it'll just go through the wizard, it'll go through the conversion process, and that will take 15, 20 minutes. We'll perhaps come back to it later on. We're not going to watch it now. So it's that easy to do a V2V with MVMC. However, it was just one VM. If I've got 50 VMs, 100 VMs, 1,000 VMs, that's going to take a long time, both downtime and manual process. However, we can automate. And I said right at the start that MVMC has a PowerShell, a native PowerShell layer that you can use to script and automate the key steps. And you can automate both physical to virtual and virtual to virtual conversions. But rather than you build it yourself, we've actually produced a PowerShell wrapper that you can download for free from the TechNet galleries, that our guys in engineering, along with the community, have built, that enables you to automate the MVMC tool. So how does it work? What does it do? What is it? Well, it's a series of PowerShell scripts that wrappers MVMC, and the key thing is it enables you to run multiple simultaneous migrations rather than one at a time, which is a big time saver in terms of the manual administration. It doesn't make the migrations any quicker. The disk conversion is still going to go at the same speed. It just means it can do more batches in a single time. So what does it use? Well, it uses a free SQL Server Express, or if you have SQL Server already, you can use that. And it uses that to maintain a database, a really small database, of the machines it's converting in batches. So it just uses that rather than using a notepad file or an XML or a CSV file, whatever it may be. It stores it in SQL Express. How it works, and perhaps architecturally, it might be easier to me to explain it. We have what we will refer to as a control machine, the MAT control machine. MAT stands for Migration Automation Toolkit, by the way. I was not involved in the naming. Nothing to do with me. Well, maybe I was. The MAT control machine. This is a physical or virtual machine that will drive the conversions. And it needs the SQL Server, either locally or it needs access to a SQL Server. So you run the MAT tool, you run the first command, and it goes away and it collects the information from vSphere. Same as we saw before in the UI of MVMC. It goes away, it pulls back a list of all of the VMs, whether it's ESXi or vCenter, regardless. It stores them in the database temporarily and then produces a notepad list. It is as simple as this, a notepad list of all of those VMs. And you, as the IT admin, shrink that list to just the batch of VMs that you want to convert now. So you would probably shrink it to maybe 10. So you're doing batches of 10 conversions at a time. So you would shrink that list down The 10 VMs listed would be your batch, and you would save. You would update the database, running one of the commands in the map tool, and then it would start conversion. So in this case, we've also installed MVMC on the control machine, so we're doing a conversion. If you're not using the UI of MVMC, we can drive 3 migrations simultaneously from a single MVMC machine. Okay? That's the maximum. So 1 MVMC host, 3 conversions at a time. If I'm using the UI, it's just 1 at a time. So this is already a big advantage. However, if you want to do even more conversions, we scale out with what we will call helper nodes or helper machines. So these are machines, physical or virtual, that you have MVMC installed on. And they are controlled from the control machine. So it's almost like grid compute or batch processing. We have a central control node that's doing conversions, but we also tell that machine, and that machine to also do conversions as well. So that's how we scale out. 3 conversions here, 3 conversions there, 3 there, 3 there, a total of 12 currently at this point. And the more helper nodes you have, the more conversions you have. And remember, they can be physical or virtual. You've got the flexibility for both. So, I think I've got a demo to show. Yeah, here we go. So let's have a look at this one in action. Hang on. So in this case, I've got this captured because there's quite a few steps that are handy to speed up. So if I go play here, in fact, before I show the map video, I want to quickly just show you the conversion to Azure, just so you've seen it. So I meant to show this earlier. This is back in MVMC, the wizard. We can migrate to Azure, as we saw. I've blanked out my subscription ID and my thumbprint just for security purposes, but I do trust you all, obviously. So we just enter that information. That connects to Azure. And then as we move forward, you'll see we get our storage account that I've pre-created. So in this case, I'll flick on a little bit further. We choose our storage account. Same information of the source and destination. Same set of VMs there. Where we're going to convert to temporarily, or the actual VM settings. In this case, you'll notice with Azure, you don't have a choice of setting the virtual machine to finish in an on state, because we just copy the disk. There's no VM created at that time, so something to bear in mind. So we'll go carry on. That's the workspace on premises where the conversion is going to take place. And then, just like that, the selected VM will be kicked off and migration will start. So same wizard for conversion to Azure. There'll just be an extra step at the end of the conversion process where, if I go on a little bit on the video, you'll see it gets copied up to Azure as part of that final step. So that's a successful migration there. So let me just come out of there and show you the map video. Here we go. So with Matt, you'll see we've got a couple of key components that are worth understanding. If I just scroll on a little bit. When you download the Matt bundle from TechNet, you get all of these different scripts and XML files, or in this case, variable files that are just opened in Notepad. So you'll see there's convert VM, there's an example one that you can use, there's some functions, there's the setup Matt database scripts that you run against your SQL or SQL Express. And then there's a variable file. The only one you really need to edit is the variable file, because that asks you for, and I think I open it in the video, the variable file just asks you for the relevant information about your environment. It asks you about your Hyper-V hosts. It asks you about your converter nodes if you want to scale out. All of that information, all of the accounts and the credentials and all of that stuff is included within the variable file. So I think if I open that variable file, there you'll see, it's not particularly exciting, but you'll see useful information such as, where's my SQL database? How many rows in the database do I want to use? What credentials do I need? My Hyper-V host that I'm going to use, either fully qualified domain name or IP address. So just entering the useful data that the tool needs in order to automate the process. So very, very straightforward. The vCenter or ESXi target, it's going to go through and bring back that information as well. Do I want to convert to VHD or VHDX? So I just specify all the possible variables as part of this particular variable file. In this case, it's just a sample. And this is where, at the bottom here, I specify my helpers. So those are the nodes that I'm going to scale out conversion to. And I could have a big, long list here if I wanted to, depending on how many conversions I really wanted to do at the same time. So we'll zip on. So once you've populated your variable file, let's go on a little bit further. The database, yeah, that's all well and good. That gets created by the script. And you'll see we've got our vSphere environment, in this case again, where we're going to convert a number of virtual machines at the same time. So we've got 1 through 10 available, just like we showed before. So when I fire up Matt, it's a very intuitive, great-looking PowerShell wizard. But all you essentially run is convert vm.ps1. And that spins up an interactive PowerShell experience where essentially I just run through the key options that I've got. So collect VMs first, will go away and target vCenter or ESXi, pull back the list of VMs, and then done. Once it's pulled back that list of VMs, I choose to manage my list. So that's going to enable me to bring up Notepad. In this case, it's still doing the collection. You'll see it's created the VM list on the C drive there. So I've got my VM list, and when I press Enter to continue, that's going to bring up the actual Notepad file. So I'll click Enter. And there you go. The list is the same as what we saw in vSphere. So I'm just cleaning it up. I'm choosing which VMs that I find most important to convert in this batch. So I could have 1,000 in here, but I would shrink it down to just what I want to do in this batch. And once I've done that, I update the database by using the U command, and that takes from Notepad and updates the SQL database. And then it tells me, okay, yep, these ones are ready to convert. And just like that, when I press Enter, I go back to my main menu, and I just use the C command to start the conversion. Or at least I should. And that's it. So once I start, if I just go back a second, enter C and go, and off it goes. It pulls in the information from the variable files, it pulls in the list from the SQL database, and it just starts the conversion. So this control node is telling my helper nodes, you're going to convert this VM, you're going to convert this VM, you're going to do this one, I'm going to convert this one, and we will just get through that list as we go. And you can specify how many virtual workloads each host does at a time, so you've got opportunity to really scale this out. So you'll see it just works through that list. That's all that happens. That's essentially how Matt works. Just works through that list until it's done, using MVMC as the conversion tool. So you'll see in vCenter it's triggering snapshots. It's doing things in a clean and intelligent way. It's not doing things randomly and in ways that couldn't be reversed. So there we go. That, in essence, is the Matt tool, and it wrappers MVMC to allow you to scale out. Now, you may not enjoy scripting, you may not use PowerShell very much, but it's not difficult to use. They've built it in a pretty intuitive way. And because it's essentially all open, you can use this, customize it to your environment, enhance it. You've got the opportunity there. It's not closed. It's very flexible for your environments if you've got PowerShell users within your group. So, I'll leave that going for now. So that was a little bit about Matt for MVMC. So again, MVMC for conversion, Matt for scaling it out. Okay, both free. However, what about migrating to Azure? From VMware, from Amazon, from whatever. I talked about MVMC and the ability it has to migrate to Azure. But we also talked about the fact that it just copies the virtual disk up there, which still leaves a little bit of work to do. There is an alternative solution known as the Migration Accelerator, which we've just released in preview, that does migration to Azure in a much more strong and efficient way. Now, you may be aware that a couple of months ago, Microsoft acquired a company called InMarge. And with that company came a technology called InMarge Scout. And InMarge Scout is a tool that was primarily used for disaster recovery. It's an agent-based tool that you install on a target machine, physical, VMware virtual machine, AWS machine, whatever, and it replicates whilst the VM is running to another location. No downtime, continue replication, and then at the point of a disaster or a planned failover, you would fail over the workload from site to site. That technology, that engine of replication, not only are we making it available for customers who want to do DR, but we've also used it to provide a free solution for one-way migration into Azure. So same InMarge engine of technology, but you can use it for one-way migration to Azure. So what does it support? Well, I can migrate from vSphere, Amazon, older versions of Hyper-V, or I guess it would work on newer versions as well, and physical machines. But the target is only Azure in this release. So I can't use this for something to Hyper-V today. I can only move to Azure. But compared with MVMC and just that virtual hard disk upload, this is a lot more efficient. So it's fast, it's easy, the discovery is quick, the opportunity to configure things like network and virtual machine reconfiguration is very streamlined, and best of all, it does actually create the VM in Azure for you. It doesn't just leave the disk up there. But one advantage it does have over MVMC, or one big advantage, is its support for multi-tier apps. Think about if you wanted to convert a SharePoint infrastructure. SharePoint, database tier, mid-tier, the application tier, and a web tier. For SharePoint to stay successfully operational, those three need to be in sync. If I'm doing conversions where I snapshot one, the database, for instance, and do the conversion, and then I snapshot the web tier, and then the application tier, they're going to potentially be inconsistent. So when I bring them all up together, there may be issues. With this tool, I can define that particular application as a number of VMs, and it will ensure that they are consistently migrated. So I will ensure that my SharePoint or my line of business app is migrated and is successfully migrated with consistency in place. It will also automatically ensure that the startup order of the VMs when in Azure is adhered to. What that means is, if I've got a SharePoint infrastructure again, I need the SQL VM to start first in Azure when I fail over. Okay, we'll set that up. We'll set the SQL VM first, then we'll migrate the application tier, then we'll do the web tier. So it gives you that flexibility. MVMC doesn't have any of those capabilities. It allows you to test. So I can test my applications in Azure before I perform the one-way migration. So I've got a bit of flexibility there as well. But after the initial synchronization, there's zero data loss, it's near synchronous, and there's no impact to production environments. So your vSphere environment or your Amazon environment will stay running until you do the point of failover, but there's no impact to the production at that point. And it's free. It's limited preview today, so you have to register and be accepted, and it is only in North America at this point. But if you just want to kick the tires and test it, you can do that with just a few workloads. But it's there, available for you. Now, in terms of the process and some of the components, there's a number of different pieces that make up this solution. Firstly, there's the mobility service, and that is an agent. It's a service that gets installed on the machines you're looking to convert, whether it's a VMware VM, a physical server, or an AWS VM. It can even be a vCloud VM if you're starting to utilize VMware's own public cloud. Now, on premises or in the target environment you're converting, you need to deploy what's known as a process server. And the process server is essentially a server that collects all of the changes from the machines that have got the mobility service installed. So all of that stuff goes to the process server. The process server works with the configuration server and the master target, which are housed in Azure, and pushes that data up. And then finally, you have a portal that you can use either as yourself or as a partner to actually manage the migration process. Okay, so let's have a look at what that looks like in action. I'll just give you a brief view. Let me just refresh. Oops. There we go. So, this is the Migration Accelerator. It looks slightly different from MVMC. It's got a lot more functionality and capabilities built in. Now, nothing on the dashboard at this point, but if I go through to cloud services, one of the first things I would do would be to set up protection. Okay? And you think, why protection? Because all I'm interested in is a one-way migration. Why use the term protection? Well, remember that this technology is based on the InMarge Scout tool, which is used for protection and recovery. So that first stage, called protection, is really replicating the data from A to B, from on-premises into Azure. So I'm going to choose the particular account. So if you're a partner, this is where you could manage multiple customers from the same UI. If you're just using it for your own environment, it may be that you have multiple departments here. It's up to you. So I'm going to go over this particular enterprise and go submit. And what we've got in here, firstly, I'm going to go to cloud. And under cloud, you'll see the only option I have as my target is Microsoft Azure. Okay, so that's my target for replication and eventually failover. So I'll go click, and you'll see I just enter a subscription name, the ID, and the certificate. Same kind of thing we saw before with the MVMC tool. So now that we've established that, you'll see I've got my Azure and anything I've already migrated is coming up in there. And I've got those components that I showed on the previous slide that are existing and running in Azure. If I go back to primary, which is ultimately what I want to convert, I'll expand these out and you'll see I've got a number of pieces of infrastructure that I've already established here. And if I expand some of these, we've got the vSphere hosts with individual machines, some of them. Loads of machines there. And you'll see what I can convert here. AWS as a target. All I need to specify, account name, access key, security, secret access key, go, and it will bring in my AWS stuff. Windows servers, or Hyper-V in this case. vCloud, just give it the information about my VMware vCloud environment, go. Remember, this is vCloud Air. This is not vCloud on-premises. If I've got VMware on-premises, I would either use the vCenter server option or the ESXi host directly option. And I've even got physical servers. So pretty much, wherever you've got an OS running, I think we've got you covered. Physical, virtual, on-premises, cloud, we've got you. One tool. So once I've imported those and done the discovery, I get a list of the VMs that have been discovered. And this one, for example, this POC web. If I just discovered this, I would go ahead and install the agent, the mobility service we talked about, and then I can establish protection for this particular workload. You'll notice by this little shield icon over here. Oops. Just there. That was supposed to be an arrow, but never mind. Oh, and a box. There you go. Just so you can tell I'm great with Zoom It. That's one more try. There we go. That shield icon, it would normally be green if you had established protection already. Okay? So let me come out of there and let me click protect. And you'll see I've got some granular options about replication. Do I want to compress the data as I send it up to Azure? That could be useful because that's going to speed things up. And remember the process server that we talked about before that would be on premises, that would handle the compression. So I'm going to choose compression, or I can create a custom policy. I choose my cloud account in Azure, and I choose my configuration server that's running in Azure. And then I enter some final bits of information about the particular VM. Let me choose some of these settings so I can complete these. I choose some final settings about the VM, which drive I want to use for retention, storage account that I want to replicate to, et cetera, and then activate. And from there, I'm at a state where I can essentially start replication. So replication would begin, and in this case, we've got one I think we've already turned on. So status is currently active. This machine has had the readiness check, it's prepared, its replication has started. So this machine is still running on premises, and its data is being continually replicated to Azure. And at the point I'm ready to migrate, I go through the migration wizard. In this case, the other option here, migration. I'll choose my account again. So protection is really setting things up. Migration is when I want to do the one-way migration to Azure. So this is one way. Okay, it doesn't destroy the source, so you can still use your vSphere VM on premises, but the migration is one way to Azure. Okay? You can't migrate that same workload back with this tool anyway. So I've got my machine here, my migration scenario. I would literally just come in and click migrate, and it would start the process. Now, if you want to know more about this migration accelerator, there's a session at 10:15, so the next session this morning, in hall number 8, so not 8.1, 8, by one of the guys who works in the team who came from InMarg. So definitely recommend that if you want to know more about the migration accelerator. So let me go back to my slides. So just to wrap up before I close up the session and answer any questions. Those were Microsoft solutions. MVMC is free. MatTool is free. Migration Accelerator is free whilst in preview. We haven't disclosed whether there's going to be any price associated with it when it is finally released, but it's currently in preview. But there are partner solutions as well that can do a great job to help you migrate. And it just depends on what your requirements are for migration. So if you look on the left-hand side, tools like the Five9 V2V Easy Converter. Five9, I think I've seen some of the Five9 guys at the conference, so they are here. I believe they have a booth as well, so if you do want to go and speak to them. Their tool is very similar to MVMC. Really easy to use, simple wizard-driven process. It does have a couple of advantages over MVMC. It does allow you to select multiple VMs in the wizard to convert. It does have a PowerShell API, but that's only in the paid-for edition. So they have a free one and a paid-for edition. So I've listed the scale as small to medium for that because of that UI and the payment requirement for PowerShell. But it is very similar to MVMC in the way it works and the way it converts. Downtime for that could be minutes, depends on the size of the VM. But for a large VM, it could be hours. Because remember, just like MVMC, it's got to copy the disk, it's got to convert the disk, it's got to go through all of those similar steps. So that may take some time. If you've got an investment in System Center, the tools from one of our partners, Extreme, they have a VM migrator solution that builds on MVMC as the conversion tool, but it uses System Center Orchestrator to drive that. So you can either buy the actual Orchestrator runbooks from them for a fixed fee, or if you want them to be involved in the project, they would be able to help you out with that and include the IP with their consultancy. But essentially, that solution uses MVMC to convert, but it drives it with Orchestrator instead of using, for instance, the MAT tool that we talked about earlier. Then we have NetIQ, who NetIQ acquired a couple of years ago PlateSpin, which was a very popular P2V tool in the industry. And they've enhanced that just recently with much more support for Hyper-V. So it works in, I suppose, in a similar way to what we talked about with the migration accelerator. The VM is online, it's replicating the blocks of data while the VM is running, and then once the VM has been completely synchronized, migrate, and the failover is very quick. The downtime is very minimal, seconds to minutes in that example, because we're synchronizing the data all the time, and when the two are in sync, we take one down, we bring one up, and you're good to go. So a lot of the orchestration and tools can be scripted, but there is a per migration cost for that solution, so something to be aware of. It can convert from anywhere to anywhere. It doesn't have to be to Hyper-V, it could be from VMware, it could be from physical to Hyper-V. You've got a lot of flexibility there across Windows and Linux workloads as well. Then we have two more solutions from our partners that I'm going to drill into in a little bit more detail in slides. So firstly, Double Tape Move. And Vision do have a booth here, and they can talk to you more about the anywhere-to-anywhere migrations that those guys offer. And it's a really compelling solution. It enables you to literally migrate from anywhere to anywhere. Because it's not looking necessarily at whether it's a virtual machine or a physical. It's doing it at the OS layer. So there's an agent inside the OS, a very lightweight service, that's essentially replicating data from your source to your target. So it could be a Windows Server VM in Amazon that you're replicating back down on premises to Hyper-V. It just doesn't matter because it's operating at the OS layer and not the virtual machine layer. So it enables you to do physical-to-physical, physical-to-virtual, virtual-to-physical. It's got a huge amount of flexibility. And if we look at how that works a little bit more, imagine your stack for your source and your stack for your target and your apps at the top. We initially replicate the data, so it creates the new virtual disk on the target site and starts replicating information. But then as apps are still running and using the system and writing to disk, the filter driver that's installed as part of that agent installation is essentially mirroring those to both sites, so keeping them in sync. So all the app is behaving normally, no change. The OS is behaving normally, no change. There's compression involved if you do want to optimize performance. And eventually, you get to the point where the two, source and target, are in complete sync. And once that point occurs, you then do your migration. You fail over. One goes down, one comes up, and the downtime is seconds to minutes. It's literally a reboot in some cases. So very, very quick. And we saw one of the partners who did migrate, one of our service providers. And for those guys, when you're a service provider, as some of you may be, your maintenance windows may be very, very small. In fact, they may be tiny. So when you're talking about disk migrations that can take hours, that's not going to be acceptable for a customer of yours. So with this solution, it gave them the flexibility to migrate within their maintenance windows with minimal downtime. And they could automate the solution as well using System Center because it's integrated with some of the System Center tools. So they're migrating a significant number of workloads, and they're a reference for that. And remember we talked about MAT before, MAT for MVMC, and how the community can take that and extend and customize? That's what DoubleTake did. They just took the MAT tool, customized it for their DoubleTake Move product, and essentially now built a more automated wrapper around their DoubleTake Move to scale out the solution to deliver more conversion simultaneously. And the last one I want to show and talk about, and I will show a video of this one, is NetApp. So anybody who's got a NetApp filer, the NetApp filer, the array, will actually handle the conversion. Think about the MVMC tool we talked about before. What's the biggest time-consuming piece of that whole conversion? It's converting the disk. But with NetApp, we can store the virtual disks on the filer. And really, the filer, the SAN, it's just blocks of data. It doesn't care whether it's a VMDK or a VHDX. All it sees is blocks of data. So by doing some clever stuff in the file system on the array, we can essentially point a Hyper-V VM and the VHDX at the same blocks of data, but just with a slight modification. So instead of having to duplicate data, so we have 100 gigabyte VMDK and duplicate that, so we now have 100 gig VHDX as well, consuming 200 gig total. We don't have to do that on the array. We can just add a little header that identifies these blocks as being part of a VHDX file, and we can copy and transform huge amounts of data incredibly quickly. But you would need a NetApp array to do that. And you'll say, well, okay, how do I do it? How do I drive it? Well, let me show you. Go back to my environment here. Because just like DoubleTake and just like MVMC, let me just skip on a little bit. I've got this. I want to make sure I finish on time. Here we go. They've extended the MAT tool to support their array. So you have an end product called MAT for Shift. Shift being the overall migration project within NetApp. So you'll see here, they're running the same kind of thing, same kind of experience, but they've added some extra settings around network mappings and so on. So in the top left there, if it's a little small, they're going to do some network mapping and map the vSphere networks across to the Hyper-V environment. So they've added extra functionality to do that. So they're matching the port groups with the switches on Hyper-V. And when they bring that up, you'll see they've got their Seattle TM migration network. And if I skip on a little bit further, just so you can see it in action, it's the same kind of process we saw before. So the collection in this case, same kind of thing, no rewriting necessarily needed there. They've got their VMware environment, and they run the same kind of scripts to actually query the vCenter or ESXi environment. You'll notice on the array that's presented as an NFS share to vSphere and an SMB share to Hyper-V. So that's important. If you want to use this solution and you've got NetApp today, on vSphere, it would need to be on NFS. Okay, that's something to bear in mind. With Hyper-V, you present as SMB. So essentially, it's kicking off the process. And the key difference with this solution, as I mentioned before, is just the sheer speed it can go and convert the virtual disks. So let me quickly skip on a little bit so I can see. Here we go, convert VMs. So, we go through. So it's going to go into a particular console into a VM, and it's going to add a new notepad file just to prove if there is, I don't know of a better way to prove that you are converting a machine by just putting a notepad file on the desktop, but that's what he's going to do. So we'll convert me. I'm adding some text. So this is inside the VMware virtual machine that is going to be converted. So that's saved to the desktop. There we go. And back to Matt. And same kind of thing as we saw before. It literally just runs C for convert. He's got the list populated. Everything else is the same. This time, though, when you download the Matt for Shift PowerShell pieces, it's got additional stuff that relates to the NetApp filer. So you can't just take the Matt for MVMC and run it against a NetApp filer. You have to download the specific one for their environment. So they're creating that. They're working away on the conversion. And it's the same kind of thing. But the conversion time, if I skip on that a little bit further, uninstalling VMware tools, as you'll see in the top corner here, converting VM. You'll see that VM is already there now. And the time it takes to actually convert the VM with this solution, depending on the size, it was just minutes. I've actually seen demos of this solution, and their NetApp obviously have a booth, so you can go and talk to them. I've seen them convert a VM with 1.5 terabytes of storage, and it took around about 6 minutes. Incredibly quick, because they're just flipping blocks on the filer. They don't have to recreate data. They don't have to copy any data. They're just saying, these blocks make up a VMDK. Flick this bit to say, now they make up a VHDX. Go. The longest part of the entire process for the NetApp solution here is the removal of the VMware tools. Everything else is like lightning. And like I say, if you want to go and talk to them about this solution on the booth, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to talk to you about that. So, hopefully, that's giving you some insight into some of the tools that are available. One question I get asked, okay, you've talked to me about Hyper-V migration. You've talked to me about Azure migration. Which tool should I use? Well, if I'm going to Hyper-V, from a Microsoft perspective, MVMC, plus the MAT tool to scale. But there are partner solutions as well, as we saw. If I'm going to Azure, not all of those partner solutions will go to Azure, like the NetApp one, for instance. There's no NetApp array in Azure, so you couldn't use that. So that's where I would recommend the migration accelerator, but also Vision can be used to migrate to Azure as well. If you're looking to prove the value of why you would want to migrate, there's a free data center kind of calculator, if you will, that you can use to understand your workloads within your environment and how much you would save by moving to Hyper-V and also with public cloud stuff as well. And to wrap up, there's loads of capabilities in Hyper-V to be that virtualization platform you need it to. There's lots of migration tools to help you migrate, some free, some that cost money. But hopefully what you've got from this session is, I could use a number of different tools. I've got options there for me to use for my migrations. So with that, I'll wrap up. There are some sessions. There's one right after this on the Migration Accelerator. The others are available on demand, so they've happened. And I'll be at the Ask the Experts this evening as well if you do want to chat through any stuff. But feel free to come up and ask any questions. But with that, thank you very much for your time. I'll flick through to my eval slide. And yeah, thank you very much. So yeah, have a good day. Thank you.